Mike Dempsey. Look, I hear from people all the time who are having tax problems, but don't be afraid of the IRS. Right now, you can talk or meet with local professionals that are here to help your specific tax issues. Accelerate your tax solution with Accelerated Tax Solutions.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Yeah, the Into the Night anthem has got a 4th of July feel, right? A happy one to you and yours. Be safe. A lot of knuckleheads out there. Used to be just beware of those who are drinking and driving. Now you're going to be aware of those who are drinking and driving and on their phone. Or perhaps just on their phone in general. Independence Day. Yes. We will celebrate it over the next 3 days. An opportunity, hopefully, for you to get on out and relax a little bit. All right? That's what it's all about. I actually looked it up a little bit earlier today. We have been celebrating Independence Day since 1941. All right. Obviously, it goes back to the 18th century, the American Revolution, 1776, and all that good stuff. I remember where a lot of that happened where I was born in Concord, Massachusetts, you know, Paul Revere and the Old North Bridge and all that stuff in 1976. 200-year anniversary. Very cool. My dad had my dad had a kidney out, so I went with my late grandfather. But pretty cool stuff, no doubt about it. All right, let's get to what really means something. That's you and fireworks. And, you know, I got to tell you, and I say it all the time, and this isn't a old man yelling at the clouds. This isn't get off my lawn, but I'm going to put my hand up right now and say that Jacksonville is the fireworks capital of the world. I have never seen anything like this. And I think it was because I've been going away quite a bit as of late. I will be in Tampa for the 4th of July, you know, obviously on Monday to see my dad and my brother and his family. My mom is in assisted living, but yeah, I am going to the concert tomorrow. And we got to find out if Brett Michaels is going to. Brett Michaels right now is like listed as questionable lead singer of Poison. We got Tommy Lee, drummer of Motley Crue, listed as questionable. Okay, we have ribs for Lee, and right now we've got just overall health for Brett Michaels, who I guess it was last night, he took some medication, had an awful reaction to it, and was taken to a hospital in Nashville. He was not part of Poison set last night. So, I'm doing that, and then I'll be heading off towards Tampa for the weekend. But they used to do some really cool fireworks, underneath the bridge there, Palm Valley. Right, they do a nice little Christmas parade there on the Intracoastal. It's a good spot to go hang out and watch fireworks. You know, they're coming from each and every direction. But I've never seen anything like it. You know, I've been in two major cities and pretty patriotic cities, particularly Boston. Yeah, they don't do fireworks like the folks here in Jacksonville. Chicago doesn't do fireworks like the folks here in Jacksonville. I mean, regardless of what the occasion is, you're guaranteed to hear fireworks. It's a Friday afternoon. Fireworks. A few weeks ago, Father's Day is Sunday, for crying out loud. Fireworks. You're going to get them. Be safe. You can get injured. Yeah, you really can. You can injure other people, but absolutely have a great day. Tuesday, there'll be a lot of people going back to work who will be hungover, okay? I feel like the college football world today is totally hungover. How many of you woke up and were like, all right, let me get this straight again now. What, you telling me USC's in the Big Ten? You're telling me UCLA is in the Big Ten? You're telling me that the alliance that pitted the Big Ten, the Pac-12, the Atlantic Coast Conference, they all got together. They were claiming unison, right? They came forward and said, this is a shared vision, ladies and gentlemen. We will make our decisions together. Yet, in the middle of the night, of course, the phone rang from the Big Ten. USC and UCLA responded, and they will become a part of the Big Ten by the year 2024. I already told you, Jim Phillips, in my opinion, who's been on the job for a year and a half, completely embarrassed himself last year in Charlotte at the Atlantic Coast Conference meetings. He was unprepared. Even the most basic questions, which, let me figure it out now. COVID had no answer to it. And he, along with the commissioners, if you look at Jim Phillips in the ACC, you look at Kevin Warren in the Big Ten, you look at the Pac-12, it's George, I think I'm saying this right, Klyavkov, I believe is how you pronounce his name. Anyway, they're the three that prevented us from getting a 12-team college football playoff in 2024. So, you know, depending on how you look at it, with the Big Ten, it's they could still lose some money on it. The Big Ten's got a real good chance of getting one into the Final Four, if not two. But who are you going to take now from the Atlantic Coast Conference if it's not Clemson? Who are you going to take right now from the Pac-12? If you haven't had a Pac-12 winner not named USC since UW did it in 1990. It was either 90 or 91. You know, you had those split titles, right? You had Tech, you had Nebraska, you had Michigan, and you had the University of Washington. Okay? The titles don't come out of the Big 12. So these three got together. And again, they formed this alliance. And yeah, it kind of snuck in. All right, there'll be no extension to a college football playoff through 2024. We absolutely need that. A 12-teamer would be brilliant. So, to just kind of look back at it, the ACC now totally screwed. The Pac-12 now totally screwed. The Big Ten will benefit. Obviously, the Southeastern Conference will benefit. Another very intriguing story that has evolved here in the last 12 or so hours. The man who actually broke the story, his name is John Wilner, and he's the one who came forward with the announcement that you know, the Trojans and the Bruins were heading towards the Big Ten. Today he says that Lincoln Riley did not know about any of this when he shocked the college football world and left Norman, Oklahoma for Los Angeles. And I know that many people are like, who cares? Tough. Stuff happens, all right? Others are going to be like, did you see the deal that was extended to this man? Everything that he was given, he's obviously the king in Los Angeles, or the king not named LeBron James in Los Angeles. How can you make such a mega move like this and not even tell your brand new coach you spent all that money on before he has got out there and, you know, been involved in his first game? I'm sure Lincoln Riley was thinking, man, I'm going out to Pac-12 country. This is going to be Cupcake City. Every once in a while, Utah will have a physical team. Every once in a while, Oregon will show up. Or every once in a while, you know, Arizona or Arizona State will have a pretty decent team. But come on. It's nothing like the gauntlet that you're now going to face. And if you look at the travel that is involved, going from California to the Midwest, it is going to be a grind. There's no question it is going to be a grind. So I thought that was a very intriguing scenario that kind of has been, you know, pushed to the back burner now. I'm looking forward to when we hear from Lincoln Riley and what he is going to say about this. We continue to wait for Notre Dame. They are holding all the cards right now, and Notre Dame could go to the Southeastern Conference. I doubt it. You know, I always figured Notre Dame was either joining the ACC full-time, and remember last year they were in the ACC as a football team because of, you know, the back end of COVID. Obviously, they're in it in other in other sports, both women's athletics, men's athletics. Link Jarrett in Notre Dame this year knocked off what we were told was, you know, maybe the best baseball team we've ever seen, Tennessee, right? I mean you got to respect Tennessee for crying out loud. Those kids bat flip when they draw a walk. I mean, it's like we've never seen anything like that. Well, Link Jarrett did a real good job. He lost in the College World Series. Of course, he is in Tallahassee. So, you know, Notre Dame, I always thought ACC, I always thought as well, because it just, you know, you look at the map, it makes sense for Notre Dame as far as location and, you know, being right there in the state of Indiana, where obviously you have Indiana and you have Purdue, not to mention everyone else surrounding you. So, that's what I always figured. But Notre Dame right now is the boss. And, you know, reportedly Oregon wants to know where they stand. They've picked up the phone. Stanford, the University of Washington, has picked up the phone. We'll see what happens. My understanding is that when the new ESPN SEC deal kicks in, it's worth $3 billion in the year 2024. I looked for it today and I couldn't find it, but I want to say that when I read about this deal going back years ago, the way it was written, if the conference was to expand, more money would be coming their way. Now, obviously, Oklahoma and Texas, that announcement has already been made, and there's a whole bunch of stuff out there that involves both Florida State, Miami, who knows who else, Clemson, North Carolina. I don't know. I've seen Baylor. I've seen West Virginia. I've seen Utah. So it's going to be very interesting to see. But $3 billion is reportedly the deal. And the Big Ten is working on a brand new deal. So just because the way we move forward, whenever you sign a deal, it's going to be worth more dollars. We talk about that all the time in the National Football League. I mean, best case scenario for Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence is that he plays so well this year and he plays so well next year that you rip up that contract after 3 years. Forget about the fourth year, even though it's a bargain. Forget about picking up the fifth-year rookie option that is a team option for only first-rounders, and you can make the case, well, you're really saving yourself money here in year four and year five. No way. You can't look at it that way. Rip it up and pay him after the third year, because if you wait until after the fifth year, it's going to cost you that much more money moving forward. The same thing here with the Big Ten. If they are, you know, working towards this deal, with television networks, getting Notre Dame in is absolutely enormous. So I think we're going to hear something in the month of July. That's my opinion. I believe it's going to come forward then. I could be dead wrong. For the record, I thought today would have been a really good chance that we were going to get that 5 p.m. news dump involved with Deshaun Watson, okay? That did not happen. Now there are reports that this could take a couple of weeks. The 3 days worth of hearings are long gone. It's now up to the Honorable Sue Robinson and her ruling, okay, as the judge who was voted on by both the National Football League and the National Football League Players Association to come forward with the penalty. There's a lot that needs to be considered here. The NFL thought a year, maybe more. NFLPA saying zero. NFL's fighting for a year lost in service in 2020, even though Watson made, what was it, $20 to $25 million. Really, the punishment here could go anyway. I mean, it could go the entire season. It could be six games. So that's going to be interesting. But I thought there was a good chance that that would come down late this afternoon. It did not. So by me saying that Notre Dame and these other schools were going to know what happens right now in the month of July, I could be way out of bounds with that. But Florida State and Miami, man, you better be working those phones. You better be putting it to your the athletic directors, to your president, and to your board of trustees, because it's all about the cash. And, you know, Florida right now, the University of Florida, and I've gone back and forth with numbers. I've texted some people. I've looked it up. And unfortunately, I haven't got the exact figures that I was looking for. But to my estimation, everything that I understand on broadcasting numbers, the finances that come in broadcasting and broadcasting only, Florida makes as much as Florida State and Miami combined. That is my understanding. So why would you not, if you're either one of those two universities, the competition is going to be so much more difficult. There's no doubt about that. But I think the end game here now is all about the cash, right? And it shouldn't be all about the cash for you as a fan. If you're a fan of the Canes or you're a fan of the Noles, it shouldn't be all about the cash. Just like I hear from you all the time when it comes to the Jaguars and the salary cap. I always say, it's not my money. I don't care. Go out and get these guys. Find a way to do it. Remember when Dave Caldwell started rebuilding this organization? There was always a ton of money left, at least the first couple of years when he started to do that. So I got to believe that's the same thing. Now, the spirit of competition, I get it. You want to be involved in a conference like the SEC with its huge games week after week after week. But an early, you know, an easier path to a title would be to remain in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Although certainly with a four-team college football playoff, I don't care if you go undefeated. You may not get there. You may not with these new super conferences. All right, we got a lot to do tonight. It's great to have you with us. Dylan Denmark is here. My name is Rick Blue. We got a lot of good stuff. I got a Jaguars topic that is primarily going to be tossed to you in the 7 o'clock hour. I may touch on it a bit here on the other side of our very first break. I think you'll appreciate it. And I put it out on Twitter yesterday and got just an incredible response from Jaguar fans. So, you know, we'll come back and we'll do that. I got a couple of other things I want to share with you as well on this Bobby Bonilla Day 2022. Opening comments brought to you by Schmunez Vision. Schmunez Vision is a family organization. They focus on personal high-quality medical and surgical eye care. I had eye surgery with Dr. Neil Schmunez 8 years ago, removed a cancerous, whatever it was, something was cancerous in my right eye, and it has been removed, and there's been no setbacks during my routine visits. Everything is healthy. Laser eye surgery, right? More than 30 years of experience. If you look at Dr. Neil Schmunez, Dr. Catherine Schmunez, talked about it often. My another one of our sponsors here, Dr. Michael Shinatry. Young guy, 36, problem with his eyes, doesn't want to wear glasses, made an appointment with Schmunez. Now he is going to get laser eye surgery. Just imagine never having to deal with contacts again, never having to deal with glasses again, readers again, and just how convenient that would end up being for your livelihood. And you know, so many of these examples, laser eye surgery, cataract surgery, it's so much more effective and safe than putting contacts in your eyes and leaving them in there for a day or a two or three. People do that, and you're messing with the only set of eyes that you have been given. So this is a great, and I believe in them, and they've been outstanding with me. So Schmunez Vision, the number is 299-2906. Go to SchmunezVision.com. Care you can see. We are absolutely jam-packed on this Friday before the 4th of July. It's great to have you with us. I'm Rick Blue. This is the home of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Let's go into the night with Rick Blue on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yeah, it's all about the lyrics tomorrow. Kidding me, Poison, Joan Jett, Def Leppard, Motley Crue. I'll see you there. Should be a lot of fun. I hope the rain does its part. Certainly hammered us tonight, earlier today. Dylan and I went out and tried to play 18 holes. Wasn't going to happen. We had to deal with lightning. We had to deal with thunder. We had to deal with a big black snake.
Oh, yeah.
We had to deal with all that stuff.
They ran away from you.
They all run from me. I thought that moccasins like turn and come after you. That's what I always hear. I come out every time I spot when they go tearing off. Maybe I'm imposing.
Maybe. don't know. I see a snake and I go the other way, so I couldn't tell you.
You hit the ball well.
I did. Appreciate it.
The cloud cover was great. You know, it probably took 10 degrees off.
Yes.
And the rain actually felt okay, but, you know, we sat out for, what, about 20, 30 minutes, and like, oh, let's keep going. We played three more holes, and that lightning was just, nah. Let's just hit the bricks. So 12 holes today, a lot of fun over at Southampton. Baloo, you're wrong. It's right out of the gate. It says, Baloo, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. Come to the Panhandle and check out the Redneck Riviera, Lower Alabama. I'm actually really considering heading there in a week when I have vacation. I haven't done Panama City in years. Pensacola, Destin, Fort Walton. I don't think I've ever done anything in Alabama. The way I look at it, I love Florida so much, I just can't ever see that I'd be in a situation where I need to go to Alabama for the ocean, you know? But we're thinking about flying into New Orleans, and then you can only spend like a day, right? One day in New Orleans, and then you just got to get the hell out of there. Here's some good music. And, you know, my GF doesn't drink, so then we can start to head south. So I think that is what, in fact, we are considering. We will see. The 8846 says, Baloo, Notre Dame makes massive money off NBC in their television deal. How do they move to a conference without losing that cash? Notre Dame makes $15 million a year from NBC. That's good money, but this money's silly. I'm hearing him telling you about a $3 billion deal that ESPN is put together with the Southeastern Conference beginning in 2024. I'll let you do the math. Take $3 billion and divide it by 16 teams. And I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being 18 or 20 teams and the ability to renegotiate that deal with ESPN. Here's the problem with Notre Dame. Okay? Who in the hell are they going to play? They no longer have the year-in, year-out rivalry with Michigan, which is really sad. I mean, Notre Dame, Michigan is something that we should have each and every year, just like we should have Texas, Texas A&M, just like we should have Oklahoma and Nebraska, just like we should have Pitt and Penn State. I mean, they're rivalries that we should have. You know, I hear people say no Florida, Miami, no Notre Dame, Miami. They always haven't been, you know, Florida, Miami was a rivalry for a good bit. But for Florida, that was never close to their top rival. You know, it was always Florida State, always Georgia. Those were the top two. And, you know, that the convicts-Catholics battle between Miami and Notre Dame was legendary. USC is going to get out of that deal. If you're USC and you're running through the schedule like they're going to be going through, and the travel, the miles that they're going to have to go through, they're going to travel more than any team in college football, USC and UCLA. You think they're going to hang on to that rivalry with Notre Dame? I mean, rivalries are done. History has been forgotten. Look at the granddaddy of them all. What happened to that yesterday with USC and UCLA? The Rose Bowl, that's long gone. I would be absolutely shocked. Now, maybe they can't break the current contract, and I don't know what year that is set through, but the Michigan one is already over. I would think that the USC one with Notre Dame is over. So, you know, who's Notre Dame going to play every year? And if Florida State and Miami and Clemson and North Carolina end up going to the SEC, what are you going to have, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech every year? Notre Dame, Notre Dame, Virginia every year? Are you going to send them out west? Are you going to try to tell me, you know, it's going to be you're going to create a rivalry between Notre Dame and Oregon State, or Notre Dame and Utah, or a Notre Dame back in the ACC with Louisville? I don't know. But my guess would be, I don't care about the history of Notre Dame when you're talking about cash and when you're talking about eyeballs. I just listed all of those schools for you. Now, what if ESPN has Texas against Georgia? And what if Fox is dropping, you know, Michigan State against USC? Who are you going to watch on a college football Saturday? You going to watch Notre Dame, Virginia? You going to watch Notre Dame, Arizona? No. So, and it only goes, I just looked it up, it only goes for the year 2025, this deal with Notre Dame. So, you know, we'll see what ends up happening when it's all said and done. All right, really sad day today with Jalen Ferguson. I hate this. It rolled in this afternoon, and he is going to be buried tomorrow in Louisiana. You know, 26 years of age, called the sack daddy. He is the all-time leader in sacks in the history of college football at La Tech. He had 45 sacks in 4 years as a 26-year-old with the Baltimore Ravens. He died last week. He died the same day that former Baltimore Raven Tony Siragusa passed. Siragusa was 55. Jalen Ferguson, only 26. The results came in today. A combination of fentanyl and cocaine. I mean, I thought about avoiding the story, but instead, I figured, why not tell it in case any of you folks out there are thinking of mixing up a cocktail as potent as that this weekend. It kills people, okay? Dylan, I was telling you today, you were talking about Summers, and I worked in the ditches with Vietnam vets. Summers, high, junior high, all the way up until my first year coming back from Florida State. In 1986, I was in a foxhole. My buddy pulls up in a backhoe and says, Len Bias just died of cocaine. And let me tell you something. In 1986, cocaine, the drug, was enormous. And now, it was a rich man's drug. Okay, high school kids and stuff like that, thankfully, couldn't afford it. But if there was ever a message that I got, it was right then, don't ever mess with cocaine. Now you're splitting it with fentanyl and killed a 26-year-old young man.
Didn't cocaine like start in Miami and then it kind of...
Well, the city of Miami was built because of cocaine.
Right, and then it kind of
the cocaine cowboys.
Yeah.
I mean, it legitimately was built because of cocaine. It's unbelievable. There's some really good documentaries on that. But, you know, I don't tell you what to do. You know, I don't tell anyone what to do. But I don't want to hear about this. This guy had his whole life ahead of him. And he's gone now at the age of 26. What an awful story. On the lighter side, it's also Bobby Bonilla Day. All right? The New York Mets, one of the biggest blunders they ever made. And I want to say that they made this because they got the pitcher Hampton, the guy almost went and played college football as a defensive back. What was his name again? The pitcher Hampton for the Mets. And then they went on and they got David Wright a couple of years later. But if you don't remember the story, Bobby Bonilla, his contract was bought out in 2000 for $5.9 million. And they're now paying him close to $30 million because of 8% interest. He is making $1.2 million every year on July 1st from the seasons 2011 through 2035.
Mike Hampton.
Mike Hampton, right. Yep, absolutely. Thank you. What's lost in all this is that he also has a buyout from the Orioles that never gets reported. The Orioles buyout actually came into effect earlier. It's only for $500,000, but it goes from the year 2004 to 2028. So this is always about the Mets paying $1.2 million. He's collecting another $500,000 from the Baltimore Orioles. So this guy receives $1.7 million a year. And have we heard a peep out of Bobby Bonilla? I mean, I'm convinced that the world is flat because Bobby Bonilla fell off it. I mean, I have not heard anything from him in more than a decade. We'll see if we can get to it. I actually printed out a pretty cool list of some other former athletes who had deferred money, and, you know, that arrives each and every year at one particular day. And that's pretty cool if you can put yourself in a situation to get a deal like that. All right, we got much more to get into here in college football. I got a Jaguars topic I want to introduce in a little bit. I don't want to bring my buddy John Nagowski on, though, here on the other side. He's now wrote two books on this particular subject. It's called The Last Time Out, and it involves the greatest players to ever play the game, you know, their last at-bat, their last trip to the mound, etc. And it's very unique, and for true baseball fans, I think you'll love it. He's updated it, and he's included, you know, new players that are well-deserving of being discussed. And, you know, this is supposed to be the 4th of July. When I grew up, it was about apple pie and certainly Major League Baseball. And in a lot of circles, that's no longer the case. But it will be here for the next 10 minutes. Author John Nagowski goes into the night next with Rick Ballew.
Now, another interview on the Farrah and Farrah phone line, brought to you by the accident attorneys at Farrah and Farrah.
All right, let's talk to one of my buddies, John Nagowski. I've known John for a very, very long time. We both covered Florida State during the same period of time back in God's country before I slid over here to Jacksonville. John is a former columnist with the Tallahassee Democrat, and he is also an author. One of my favorite baseball books, because it's so unique, is called Last Time Out, and I got the hard copy right here that John sent me years ago. He has now updated it, and it includes some outstanding baseball players who have wrapped up their careers as well in the last few years. So let's bring on John Nagowski here with Rick Ballew. John, how you been?
I'm doing great, Rick. It's good to hear. It's good to hear from you. We do go back a ways, don't we?
Oh man, I tell you what. baseball. You and I love it. It is the favorite pastime. But those old days back in Tallahassee. Now we do a 3-hour show on the Baseball Hall of Fame, and in that little football market, they kind of ate it up when we did those shows.
We did. Yeah, we did. We had a lot of fun with that, and I think we made some pretty good predictions. You know, you had some good calls on who was going to make it, and I think I hit a few, too, and there was a lot of fun. And, you know, that's part of the fun, I think, of baseball is you've always got those things to talk about, you know, those little moments and those guys who've had great careers. You know, is it a Hall of Famer or not? What do you think? And that kind of led, you know, me to think about this book, you know.
Yeah. And you know, follow up on that, because baseball to me is so much more than other sports because of its history. There's that standard numbers in baseball that we've seen now really be affected by the whole steroid era, and there's many guys who are not in because of it. But what got you to think about last time at the plate, last time out? How did you come up with that idea?
Well, it was kind of a neat thing. You know, John Updike, the famous novelist, wrote a wonderful piece on Ted Williams' very last game with the Red Sox. He was actually supposed to meet a woman to have a little fling, and the woman, you know, didn't show up. So he said, well, I guess I'll go to the ball game. And as it turned out, Ted Williams hit a home run in his very last at-bat. So John Updike came to Florida State, you know, years ago, and I had a chance to interview him, and we talked for a while about that particular game. And on my way home, I thought, well, you know, I remember Babe Ruth had a 3-home run game, but I didn't remember if it was his last one or not. And so I just kind of went from there. Gee, I wonder what these guys did in their last game. And I called a guy that I had met at the Baseball Hall of Fame and kind of threw the idea at him. And he goes, John, that's a great idea. Nobody's done that book. He said, geez, I must get 300 calls a year about book ideas. Nobody's done that. And so I did the first book, and I had, I guess it was maybe 1995 or so, and I had 25 players, kind of representative, I thought, kind of going back in, you know, the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did with this version was kind of update it. So I included 18 new chapters, you know, with Reggie Jackson, David Ortiz, Mariano Rivera, Derek Jeter, plus a few guys that didn't get in the first edition, like Yogi Berra, who wound up playing for the Mets.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody knows that. Roger Clemens, Nolan Ryan, And, of course, the last chapter is about my son's very first major league game. So it was kind of a nice way to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. It's an updated edition. John Nagelsky is the author. It's called Last Time Out. I'm not typically a huge trivia guy, but I love the 50 questions that you have sent out to, you know, promote this book. And there's some really incredible points of view in here. The one on Pedroia, I love, you know, a 300 yep. lifetime hitter. And when he got yep. slid into by Machado, he tried to bounce back. And what did he go, 3 for 31? So now the lifetime average is 299. And I don't think he's a Hall of Fame player, but certainly going 300 to 299 could end up making a world of difference for him.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's that kind of thing, those little details that, you know, you wonder about. You know, Al Kaline ended with 399 home runs. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a great enough player. He made the Hall of Fame anyway. But somebody like Pedroia, you know, kind of had an injury-shortened career, you know, maybe that 300 average, you know, might have got him in. You know, you never know. But I thought it was a really interesting detail. And you know, baseball is a game of numbers, as you know, and as you mentioned earlier. And one of the questions that I think was really kind of a neat one was about Barry Bonds. Now, he won 4 consecutive MVP awards, right? And he was so dangerous. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this is, I think he was like age 36 when this started. The weird thing about it is he got up to, I think he got 206 walks one year. So just on a whim, I just added up the number of walks that he got on those 4 consecutive MVP seasons. Guess what the total was? 755.
Whoa. Whoa. Wow.
The same number of home runs that Hank Aaron hit, yeah. who he supplanted as the all-time home run king.
Tell us about the Reggie deal, because, you know, Finley had that fire sale. They won it in 72, 73, 74. The Sox knocked him out in 75. A lot of people forget that he spent 76 in Baltimore before, of course, going off and winning the World Series in 77, 78 in New York. But, you know, Reggie was the star, the straw that did stir the drink. And can you imagine if he was around today with social media, that the attraction Reggie Jackson would have been. But you were sitting in the outfield. Tell us about that one a little bit.
Well, we went to Fenway. I think it was the next to last game of the season. And, you know, I had been at Fenway a few years earlier when he had a 10 RBI game against the Red Sox. And he later, it came out that he had a flattened bat. I remember he hit one off the left field wall that almost bounced back to second base. That's how fearsome he was. So he had this one season with Baltimore, and we were sitting in right field, so we're real close to him. We were yelling out to him, and, you know, he's one of these guys who likes to talk to the fans. So his first at bat, he hit a slow roller and just kind of dogged it down to first base. So when he ran out to his position, a friend of mine named Tom Lavoie and I were watching the game. We started yelling out, you know, come on, Reggie Jackson, we want to see you be an all-star. We want to see you loafing. And to our surprise, he looks right at us. He goes, what's the problem? You know, and so we started bantering back and forth, and he goes, what's it going to take for you guys to get off my butt? I cleaned it up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And we said, well, you know, we want to see you hit a home run and get Reggie Jackson. And he goes, so if I hit a home run, you're going to stand up here in Fenway Park and give me an ovation. I said, yeah, we will, you know, and the people all around us were laughing and everything else. Well, what do you think happened? Next at bat up, he hits one out. And as he's running down to first base, he's looking. You can see him looking down to see if we're standing up cheering for him. Mm. And, of course, we were. And everybody in our section, of course, heard this banter, right? So when he ran out to his position, everybody in our section stood up and cheered for him. You know, he tipped his hat to us and the whole bit. I mean, it was really funny. And, you know, it's one of those moments that you remember. And, you know, as a baseball fan like you are, Rick, you know, you have these moments that are always going to stick with you. And, you know, that was one of them. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, and, you know, everyone will bring up what happened 2 years later, the one-game playoff, and they'll always go to Bucky Dent, but you know and yep. I know that it was really Reggie Jackson's home run, the yep. dead center in that one-game yep. playoff in 78, which ended up ruining it for the Boston Red Sox. What I love about this is no matter what your team is, there's something here that really takes you back, whether it's good or bad. You got the Buckner era. You got the David Ortiz huge hit. You've got, you know, Yastrzemski involved in it. We already talked about Pedroia. So no matter what team it is that you love, it you have it here in your book, whether it's a player or a situation here with the trivia part of it that'll kind of take you back to yesteryear when, you know, baseball was it in America. And, you know, it's really remarkable what it does if you take the time to really appreciate this.
Well, you know, there's a lot of untold stories, and that was the thing that I found really entertaining in doing the research for it, you know, way back when and doing it now. You know, there's just so many stories that you just have never heard anywhere else. Like, for example, Dizzy Dean, when he retired, you know, he got hit with a line drive off his toe in the All-Star game by a guy named Earl Averill. And he came back too soon, hurt his arm, so his career was shortened. So he became an announcer, and he was announcing the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Well, they decided they wanted to hire a guy named Harry Carey, who you may have heard of. So they demoted Dizzy to the other major league team in St. Louis, the St. Louis Browns, who were terrible, worst team in baseball.
Yep.
So all season long, Dizzy just complained about how bad they were. Heck, I could go down there now and do, you know, I could get them. So the last day of the season, the owner, Dick Muckelman, calls Dizzy to his office, and he's got a contract prepared for $1. He says, okay, Mr. Big Mouth, you're saying you're better than our pitchers? You're starting today. And what do you think? Dizzy goes out and throws three shutout innings.
Yeah.
And they had a lead, and he hit a double. And when he was sliding into second, he was so out of shape, he pulled a muscle. So they took him out of the game, and, of course, the Browns ended up losing. But pretty cool way to wind up a career, you know.
In the first book that John wrote last time out, it really goes from Babe Ruth all the way to Reggie Jackson. But, I mean, you name it and it's here. It's Shoeless Joe Jackson, Jackie Robinson, Ty Cobb, Roberto Clemente, his final bat, which got him 3,000 career hits. And then, tragically, he died. The updated version begins with Roger Clemens, gives you Bonds, Ortiz, Seaver, Gwynn. Of course, right here close to us in Atlanta, and of course, as well, he played his high school baseball here at the Bowl School. That's Chipper Jones, Griffey Jr., yep. Nolan Ryan, the whole way through, and your son, John Nagowski yep. Jr., you're turning around a little bit. Instead of last time out, it is the first at-bat for your son going back the year 2020.
Yep. What a day that was. You know, he was promoted to the Cardinals, and they had 17 days off because of COVID. So every player had to drive a car from St. Louis to Chicago, and he found out he was starting on the way to Chicago. They gave him number 34, and he faced Dallas Keuchel, who was a Cy Young Award winner.
Mm-hmm.
And his first at-bat, he lined one up the middle, and they had a shift on, which the announcer goes, they got a shift on this guy. It's his major league debut. you know, and but his second at-bat, sure enough, he lined a single into left field for his first major league hit. And, oh, man, I'll tell you, there was pandemonium in the Nagowski household.
Yeah, I bet. And, yeah.
And it was great. Matt Carpenter took him out, you know, bought his dinner for him that night. And the next day, Adam Wainwright presented him the ball, all authenticated and everything. I mean, it was just a big moment in our life. And, you know, he's been chasing that dream since he was just, you know, a little kid catching a fly ball on Father's Day at age 4, you know. So for us to get to actually see that, it was really cool. It's too bad we couldn't be in Chicago, but, you know, we certainly didn't miss a second of it on TV, that's for sure.
Yeah, I remember John Jr. from when I was over there and when he was a little guy. And then, of course, he ended up playing at Florida State and went to St. Louis, but put up some really good numbers in Pittsburgh and went over to Atlanta. And now he's in the Washington Nationals system?
Yes, he's in the Washington Nationals organization. And he's doing pretty good. He hit one 431 feet the other day. So that ought to get some attention, I would think. And, mm-hmm. You know, we're hoping he can get a shot to get back to the big leagues. And,
yeah.
But what a run it was, Rick. You know, he was with Pittsburgh for 33 games. But I don't know if it's the Nagowski or just his hard style of play or whatever it was. But he got to be almost like a little folk hero there. They actually had T-shirts that they, and they still sell them, the Big Nagowski.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a couple of different companies that did it. And it was really neat. I've heard from some folks that have gone to Pittsburgh games now, and, you know, some of them are still wearing the Nagowski jersey. So that's kind of neat to make your mark in the major league, you know.
Unbelievable. John, how do the listeners out there, what is the best way to either get the original last time out or the updated edition?
Well, the updated edition actually includes all the stuff in the first edition, so you won't miss anything. And actually, it's a great timing on your part, Rick. Today is the day it's officially out. The easiest way may be to go on Amazon and get it. I think the price is around $20, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's available on Amazon today. And you know, if you go in any bookstore, you know, Books A Million or Barnes & Noble or whatever, and ask for it, if they don't have it on the shelf, they can certainly order it for you. And I hope everybody liked it. It was a lot of fun doing it. I shared many of the stories with my son, you know, and coming up. And like my wife was saying, you know, this is a kind of a more updated version. So maybe some of the younger readers out there, you know, remember seeing Mariano Rivera or David Ortiz or whatever, and they can find out a little bit more about those guys too. So
yeah,
I think
I got it today. You know, I read the first one you put out there, you know, many, many moons ago, but I'm certainly looking forward to reading this one. It has Ted Williams on the cover. It's the updated edition. It's last time out. Get it at your bookstores or go to Amazon.com. I wish you the best of luck with this, John. I really do. I hope it works. I know you put a lot of effort into it.
Well, thanks, Rick. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, as a baseball guy, I know you're going to enjoy it. And, you know, anytime you want to get back and talk about the Hall of Fame, I'm happy to do it. You always did a wonderful job with that. And we had a lot of fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was fun back in the day. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking of maybe right after football season, because after my vacation, it'll be here. I need to get you on to talk Bob Dylan, for crying out loud. You've written a couple of Bob Dylan books that are
outstanding. I've got another one coming out. That's good timing. I got another one coming out the day before my birthday, August 22nd, which includes everything in his career up to now. So it's 314 pages of Bob Dylan stuff. So if you like Bob Dylan, you know, look for that. That'll be on Amazon as well, I think, in August.
Outstanding. Yeah, we'll definitely have you on for that. John, thank you. Good to talk with you. Happy 4th to you, and best of luck to your son.
Thank you so much, Rick. I really appreciate it. Great talking to you.
There he goes, John Nagowski, author of The Last Time Out, the updated version, the updated edition. And he's written quite a few books. He wrote a Bob Dylan book, I don't know, I'm guessing maybe 15 years ago, and he's written a new Bob Dylan book that'll be coming out, as you just heard him say, in a couple of months. But I am really looking forward to reading the second part of this because of the players that it does involve. And again, it's unique, it's authentic, it's for true baseball fans. It takes you back to some incredible times with these phenomenal players. Again, go to Amazon.com. Local bookstore. It's called Last Time Out. Thank you to John Nagowski. All right, let's get ready for our second hour. Let's do that. Let me take a look, quick peek here at the text line. It's burning up. I thought a lot of you folks would be starting your 4th of July festivities early. Apparently not, because we got a lot of good stuff here on the text line. So we'll come back. We'll address some of that college football related. If you have anything baseball related after hearing the conversation that we just had with John Nagowski, that would be good. Also, want to get to a Jags topic for the second hour. We'll begin with that as we roll into 7 o'clock. My name is Rick Ballew. This is the home of the Jags.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, a happy 4th to you and yours. Enjoy yourself out there and be safe. Big concert tomorrow in town. Should be a lot of fun. Poison. Motley Crue, Joan Jett, and Def Leppard. Seen three of the four. I've never seen Poison before. Joan Jett opened here for The Who. Maybe 2015 or something, 2016. Def Leppard was here, Rockville, right? Saw Motley Crue. Alice Cooper opened up for Motley Crue. Motley Crue, man, the audience they bring with them, spectacular. Can I just tell you right now that I'm as fired up to see the crowd tomorrow as I am to see these bands? And I never say that. I go to music. I go to concerts all the time. But that was the great thing about Rockville. You go to Rockville, and the sightseeing was just all world. And also, when you ended up leaving the concert, you thought better of yourself because of the company that you were around. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I gotcha.
I mean, I think I'll be the only one out there tomorrow without a tattoo. I think I will be the only human being in Duval at this show tomorrow without a tattoo. And hell, if Poison's that good, I may go out and get one tomorrow night.
Are you the cutoff sleeves type?
I don't know what my getup's going to be. I haven't really thought about it. I may go shirtless.
Maybe.
It's going to be so hot.
Is there a band you haven't seen that you like really want to see? Like from that era?
From that era? No. I think I've seen them all. Again, I don't really like these bands. That one Def Leppard album came out in like 87, 80, I think it was Hysteria. I like that a little bit. But like Poison and Motley Crue, when they were relevant and putting out hits, they were hair bands to me. So the answer to that question would be no, not really. A hair band that I've never seen. I can't even think of one. How about you?
Not really. I've only been to two concerts.
In your life?
Yeah.
What's going on with you over there? I thought you were Florida, man. You're a Florida grad. You're educated. You're long. You're long off the tee. You need a little work on your short game. You're putting. You read the greens okay. Two concerts. Who have you seen?
I saw Drake.
Who?
Drake.
Who's that?
Yeah, the new guy. The hip-hop. I saw Drake.
Drake has a $200,000 bounty on that brand new LeBron James card, according to our friend Richard Miller from Showtime Sports Cards and Collectibles on Phillips Highway. I'm sorry, interrupt you. Yeah, who else?
There was him, and then my buddy got me tickets for Travis Scott when he came here to the arena a couple years ago. So that's been it.
Travis Scott's one of the Jenners.
Yep.
Did you see what Andrew Bogart said?
Yeah,
about Kendall Jenner?
Yeah, that was funny.
What did I call him? Humphrey Bogart?
Bogart.
Bogut.
With an R.
What I remember about him is, well, that's the Boston accent. What I remember about him is Utah that year produced the top picks in both drafts. Alex Smith went number one that year.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew Bogut.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
I believe so. Yeah, I believe you looked that up. That was the case. But this is a family show, so I don't know if it's inappropriate or not, but the comments he made about the divorce or the breakup with Kendall Jenner and Devin Booker, who these NBA salaries are just absolutely incredible, the amount of money these players are making, that all of these maximum deals that are rolling in. Here's the first thing he said. Here's his quote after he found out that Jenner and Booker broke up. Quote, solid talent, versatile, marks around team culture, habit of endless self-promotion. Doctors will need to do a medical as the body has been banged up. End of quote.
By the way, not wrong.
Who writes? this is what a guy said in social media. So, And then like a day goes by or a day and a half goes by and he's getting hammered by social media and you think he's going to apologize. Instead, he doubles down. Here's his second quote again about a day and a half later. Andrew Bogut. Quote, I would like to formally apologize for this tweet. My scout take forgot to include an elite level of rebounding. I will do better in the future. End of quote. I'll be the first to raise my hand here and say I'm hurt. Out of all of the Kardashians, Jenners, she is my favorite. I think she's the most normal of them all.
Yeah, definitely agree.
And I never watched Keeping on the Kardashians, but here's the deal. No matter where I go, they pop up. I keep Twitter to strictly sports, and I don't know what's going on, but every single day, you know, whether it's the battle at the White House or it's the continuous back and forth between the political parties and, you know, when pop culture gets mentioned, the Kardashians and the Jenners, man, they pop up no matter where I'm looking, whether it's on my computer, any one of those websites, or on my cell phone. It's becoming nauseating to me.
Yeah, and then my favorite's the recommended for you, and it'll pop up there. It's like, I follow athletes, reporters, beat writers, but just because this got a lot of retweets and favorites on my Twitter, on Twitter, pops up on my timeline.
Yeah, I think you were in a backswing today on like the sixth fairway, and all of a sudden it popped up, and it was like the Jenner-Booker deal was staged. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be watching where your ball's going. Instead, I'm reading about this whole breakup was staged. I'm like, how does this happen? All I do is follow sports.
That's the definition of famous for being famous. That's all that is.
Here's a guy. I'm thinking about going. I'm thinking about in a week going down the Panhandle. He's telling me here that in Pensacola is where the Bushwhacker was invented. I drink Bushwhackers all the time in the Keys. I actually found a good place right in St. Augustine last Sunday, coming back from Mantanzas, that made Bushwhackers. So he's telling me that in Pensacola is where the original sand shaker on Pensacola Beach is where you're going to get the best overall Bushwhackers, which are a really good stuff. Here's a guy who wants to know about the baseball book. He'll buy it. Maybe the Bob Dylan stuff too. Yeah, you know what? I should do more on music. I haven't done enough on music. I mean, I had Robbie Krieger on 2 weeks ago and Derek and Susan on a week ago. Tedeschi Trucks. Maybe I'll bring it back on with the Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan to me is absolutely fascinating. I've never been a huge fan of his as far as the vocals, but his writing. Maybe I'll ask this to the listeners. Who's a better lyricist, Bob Dylan or Poison? Bob Dylan or Motley Crue?
Good poll question.
Bob Dylan or Def Leppard? Bob Dylan has written some of the great... I mean, we talked about it with Derek and Susan a couple of weeks ago when Derek Trucks went up there with Dave Matthews. They played All Along the Watchtower. Most people think All Along the Watchtower, they think Jimi Hendrix. Bob Dylan wrote it. Bob Dylan has written incredible stuff. And Nagowski had a book on him about 16, 17 years ago. And he's got a brand new one coming out in August. Yeah, the name of the book, if you want to get it, and I hope you enjoy that. I really did. I'm going to read it. Read the first one years ago, and he's updated it. It's called Last Time Out, Big League Farewells to the Legends of Baseball. And you can get it at Amazon.com or any local bookstore. I don't know if I'm going to have time to introduce this Jaguars topic. Why not? We'll play with it a little bit. What? Here's where I'm at with it. And I think it's been a really good offseason. Okay? They got the right coach. They fumbled the pursuit of Doug Peterson. That was not handled correctly. Okay, it was way too time-consuming. It took Trent Baalke out of the Senior Bowl, you know, as far as being there in person. But I think they got the right coach. I think they got the right staff. I think they've improved the culture and the locker room and the overall talent on the team in both free agency and the NFL draft. However, what is the one thing they did not do that you would have liked to have seen them do? All right? Not necessarily a big negative here, because I'm prefacing this by saying I think they did a lot of really good things. Great things. But what's the one thing they didn't do that you wish they would have as Jaguar fans? So we got about 45 minutes remaining in the program until Hacker will join you tonight at 8. Getting lighted up on the text line, 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. We'll have a little bit of fun with that over the final couple of segments until we take you up until 8 o'clock. It's great to have you with us.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Yeah! They'll be rocking down at the centerfold. We got to play Girls, Girls, Girls before the show ends, right?
I got you.
Get yourself a hamburger at Waco's. Some people actually believe that when I said poison in Death, they actually thought that I was honest about comparing them to Bob Dylan as far as great, as far as being great lyricists. No, that was an attempt of a joke. Because, you know, all this stuff here is sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? Dylan, not so much. John Lennon, right? Who are the great songwriters? How about American songwriters for the 4th of July? Bruce? Willie Nelson?
Taylor Swift.
John Cougar Mellencamp? Johnny Cash? Who else would it be? American songwriter. Oh, the great American poet is Jim Morrison. It was phenomenal. See, my favorite bands are from across the pond. If you go U2, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Stones, the Eagles. Well, the Eagles lyrics are... Yeah.
Prince?
Prince's pretty deep, yeah. Bob Seger. Yeah, Seger's always about the one who got away. You know what I mean? Bob, I love him, but... It's always about the one that you lost, you know, stood on a mountaintop, staring out the great divide. He could go east, he could go west. It was up for him to decide. It was always about a girl who left him in like the middle. He woke up and she was gone. Tom Petty. I know you Gators. You're going to tell me Tom Petty, right?
Don't back down.
Yeah. Don't back down. I love instituting new traditions. Hey, this just in. We're going to sing Don't Back Down in between the third and fourth quarter.
That was so funny. When they first started it in LSU, this was 2017. And LSU beat Florida 17-16. And LSU was playing their band, I believe, during the Won't Back Down. And Florida fans were so livid, apparently.
Yeah, I don't blame them. One of my favorite American songwriters is Harry Chapin. It drives my girlfriend crazy whenever I really, really get after it late night in my bar. that doesn't always go over well. Who else is a great American songwriter? What, James Taylor to me is a great American songwriter? I mean, you're going to tell me Kanye? Old Kanye? Kanye West, right? Willie Nelson is absolutely one. I said him. Who else?
James Brown.
James Brown, Stevie Nicks, right? Billy Joel, Henley and Fry, Jackson Brown. Is Jackson Brown? I know that he, like his high school years and everything, he was in that dwelling with Henley and Fry, but why did I think he was born overseas somewhere? How about John Fogerty? He just came into town. We saw him. All right. Robbie Robertson, maybe, with the band. Some of that stuff was kind of deep. Jackson Brown is from the United States of America. Okay. I thought so. Well, least I do believe so. I didn't say here. I just looked up some. Let's see who they list as number one all time. Bob Dylan. There you go. Okay? I mean, there is no comparison. They got McCartney second, John Lennon third, Chuck Berry fourth. Wow. I mean, I knew that he, you know, from Muddy Waters and everything. Derek Drex a huge fan of Muddy Waters. I know that Chuck Berry was an unbelievable guitar player, but I never really took him as a great lyricist.
We had somebody just calling Ronnie Van Zant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No doubt. Right here in Jacksonville. Ronnie Van Zant. So. All right, Paul Simon. Yeah, I'll give you that. Enough of that. Let's get back to it. But I was kidding with the Poison stuff. I'm not comparing Poison to Bob Dylan. I was trying to kid there. Just, oh my God, have you looked at the text line?
No, I haven't.
People going absolutely crazy. Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, Lenny Kravitz, Tupac. Who are you people? They're like, forget about your topic on the Jaguars, Baloo. Joe Walsh, Fry, Henley, Schmidt. That's Timothy B. Schmidt, right? Felder, the Eagles. Here's the guy who answered my question, 2636. Rick, I really wish they would have re-signed DJ Chark, especially after what we paid for with Zay. I get it. Chark coming off an injury is risky, but the ACL. They love it out in Middleburg. Apparently, we're number one in Middleburg, and that's enough for me. All right?
Clay County.
Mm-hmm. Love Clay County. 1808, happy 4th, Rick. The Jags pay whatever. Yeah. Okay, I gotcha. He says they didn't adopt the Saudi attitude and pay whatever it would take to get a true number one wide receiver. Are you watching that again today on TV?
I was just watching a little bit just now.
On YouTube?
DJ's a leader.
It's hard to figure out because of the teams.
Yeah, well, they switch the leaderboard. Sometimes I show the teams, and sometimes I show the actual person.
That's just too confusing for me.
Yeah.
31-39, Blue, I don't feel like we have a true deep threat at wide receiver. Draft class was loaded. Wish you would have taken someone. Greg Allman, no doubt. His book, oh, man, I was looking at it because I pulled out the book on Sonny Barger, who died yesterday. The he found the Hells Angels in 57 in Oakland. I read a few books on him, and it was my Cross to Bear, I believe, was the Greg Allman book. Just phenomenal. Talks about him right here in town. Writing. They left him a couple of doobies and they left him alone to tickle the ivory to write. Both music and lyrics. I'm not telling you I'm a fan of Sonny Barger. I'm just saying I read about that stuff. The Hunter S. Thompson stuff on him is it's gonzo journalism. You don't know what to believe and what not to believe. Kids, if you don't know what gonzo journalism is, look it up. Or ask mom and dad. They'll act like they don't know, but they do. Carole King. Yes. Finally going into the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. Big fan. Carole King. Don McLean. All right. Yeah, but he was kind of a one-hit wonder. He also wrote, Vincent? Right? Guy cut off his ear. He was trying to go places that lovers couldn't go. Vincent, Starry, Starry Night. Bob Dylan, Don McLean refers to him as in American Pie. He calls him the jester in a coat he borrowed from James Dean and a voice. Well, it came from you and me. Did not know that. That's why I go to you. I get tips. I'll use that as a bar bet tomorrow. Instead of paying $14 for a beer.
Yeah, for one.
$14 for a Miller Lite. I'm going to use that to win one. All my buddies are chiming in now. Half are saying they don't have tattoos. So basically, I hang out with the most boring, unassuming, regular old dudes. None of my buddies have tattoos. Hey, Blue, I don't have a tattoo either from Woody.
That crowd, is I feel like that concert is going to be blue jeans, cut off cotton shirts.
Who the hell's going to wear blue jeans tonight?
I don't know. When I think of 80s rock, that's what I just think about that.
My buddy Mark from Patriot Roofing told me he's there. A lot of guys are going. See a lot of good folks out there tomorrow.
Hope it stays dry.
Brian Wilson, we got. Brian Wilson, run-ins with Charles Manson, right? Charlie thought he was going to be Bob Dylan. Yeah, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. I'm getting more here on music. Don't ever tell me you don't like it when I bring musical guests onto the program, because look at you. I'm getting hundreds right now. Hundreds on music. And here's a guy who wishes I would actually bring more musicians onto the program. You know, every time I bring on a musician, I get the obligatory, hey, I thought this was a sports show. Music and sports match, as far as I am concerned. All right, let's take our final break of the night. Why don't we do that? I'm wanting to get to this, but I don't think I'm going to have time. Honestly, it's been just a crazy Friday here. I really did think that we were going to get that Deshaun Watson news today. I thought it would make total sense to do it before the holiday and kind of sneak it in on a Friday. That is going to be the biggest story of the summer. Okay? Now, if you wait until camp gets underway in 3 weeks, it won't be a sidebar story, but it will not garner the same amount of attention if it comes out here, let's say, next week, because it is going to be the premier story. I don't think there's any question about it. And 3 days of hearings are done. Now the judge, the Honorable Sue Robinson, is going to decide the ruling here. I've been asked a lot, what do you think is going to happen? If this was like 5 years ago, I would say without question a year. But there's been a major gap as far as the improvement with the National Football League Players Association in that amount of time. And even going back years farther than that. I mean, baseball has always had a very tough union. And baseball has fought it. You can go way back into time. And the battles that they have had with former commissioners, including Billy Kuhn and Bart Giamatti, and, you know, language and changing things, guaranteed contracts, everything that baseball has done. Bud Selig, say what you want. Bud Selig messed up the All-Star game. Bud Selig was, very self-serving when he moved Milwaukee, to different leagues. He did that because he knew it was best for business as an owner at the time of the Milwaukee Brewers. But he also brought us interleague play, right? He expanded the playoffs. He, with the Juice Baseball, it brought the game back a little bit after the strike. Baseball's union has always been fierce. Football's union, they were getting walked upon for decades, and they've really flexed their muscles for the last several years. I mean, just the littlest of things. Like, you know, as Jaguar fans, heck, I was covering them here when it got underway. Tom Coughlin 2 days in the month of August? Those days are done. I mean, it's voluntary workouts. The lack of hitting. Do you remember what Coughlin workouts were like with the hitting and the running? And many teams did that league-wide, but the NFLPA has improved. So, again, if this was going back into time, maybe even 5 years ago, that may be a stretch. Maybe I should say 7 or 8 years ago. I'd say he's absolutely getting a year. If I had to guess right now, I'd say somewhere between 6 and 8 games. That's my guess. Now, I'm not exactly going out on a ledge here, considering the NFLPA said there should be zero games for Watson, and the NFL said he should sit out an entire season. Let's figure it out. Let's think about the halfway point. Half of 17 is what? 8.5? I just went 6-8. So, I'm not exactly inventing the wheel, but that would be where I would say it would go. All right, final thoughts coming up. I want you all to have a safe, happy 4th of July. This is the home of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
That's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. No doubt about it. Be safe. But feel free to let your hair down when this is being played. I don't have the opportunity, unfortunately, to respond to all of you. I cannot believe how lit up. I don't think I'm young. I don't think I'm young enough to say lit. I got to go lit up. Right,
you do say a lot of no cap on your Twitter. I've seen.
Done like three in my life.
Oh, I've noticed two of them.
Okay, and I get a lot of criticism with that. I get like, "Boy, you're too old to say no cap." I'm like, "Whatever." Too old to do a lot of things. But lit. I should say lit up. The text line just went absolutely insane today and tonight. And I, for those of you who text regularly, you know I almost always respond to you. I just got hundreds here, so I can't do it. But I always try to do a show through what I think the listeners want to hear, and I like to play the role of the regular guy. You know, I love sports, but I have other interests, and music is certainly one of them. And we've been lucky lately, man. We've had a lot of really good bands that have rolled through here. Fogerty and Creedence, or Fogerty of Creedence. I saw him, and then what it was Sting that came in, The Who, Elton John, Tedeschi Trucks. I feel like I'm missing a couple, but it's been a pretty good summer, and, you know, the summer's getting ready to end. For me, it's basically over, you know, this weekend, and then I have a little vacay coming up, 11 through 15, then I come back, I go to Charlotte for the ACC meetings. Is anyone going to ask about football at the ACC meetings? I mean, I think it's going to be filled with what's going on. Hey, Jim Phillips, you have any answers to any of our questions? Because you didn't a year ago.
And every question will start with, what if?
Yeah, it's going to be, hey, what happened to that alliance that you, you got together, Jim? Right, over here, Jim, over here. Yeah, the blonde guy, the only guy here without a tattoo. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Rick Ballew, 1010 XL. You got together in unison with Kevin Warren of the Big Ten, with George Klefkoff of the Pac-12. You guys, you know, you shared this vision. You're like Dennis Hopper and Apocalypse Now. He's not a wise man. He's not a scared man. I mean, you guys had this vision. You had it. And it busted. It absolutely broke. And you're the reason why we're not having a college football playoff expansion to 12 teams in 2024. How can you possibly, I mean, as a college football fan right now, with these super conferences coming, how freaking great would it be to know that in 2 years, we have a 12-team college football playoff? And forget about 96 Florida State, Florida rematches. Forget about the LSU, Alabama rematch. Alabama, it would almost become NFL-like, where you would expect to have rematches. You know what I'm saying? In the NFL, you play divisional opponents twice. You may play another team once. You may get that divisional opponent a third time in the playoffs. You may get a team you faced earlier that year in the playoffs, like when Jacksonville had that great run in 2017. Playoffs of 2018, one of the greatest games I've ever been to, was when Jacksonville won in Pittsburgh. Maybe Leonard Fournette's greatest game. We don't even bat an eye with that. That's the way it's going to become. And these three commissioners formed an alliance. It's as fiction filled as when you watch wrestling. You know, it's like the New World Order. You know, they're bringing on, no one's going to mess with us. The alliance. How long did the alliance last? Totally gone now. I mean, that's my summer. Vacay, come back. And then I think it starts 19th, 20th, 21st in Charlotte. And then bam, Jaguars, the 24th. I mean, we are 23 days away from the start of Jaguars football. Absolutely phenomenal. Summer, and that's why I've never been one of those, I just can't wait. Get here. Forget getting here. It'll get here. Enjoy the time. Yadier 6953. How can that guy say Kirk is not a deep threat? Every highlight or most is a over-the-top catch. Christian Kirk is... this week, what I would always want to be in my position. And there's been times when I've been able to pull that off. But he this week was called the most underrated player on the Jaguars and was also considered the biggest mistake for being paid too much money by the Jaguars, depending on which particular source you went to. I want to say ESPN had underrated. That's so awesome. I mean, there's not a bigger compliment than someone thinking that I love Florida State. Oh, no, wait a minute. He hates Florida State. That is the ultimate compliment. And it's not about me. Well, I guess it is in this sense. That is the greatest. You can't ask for anything better. If you have the listening audience think, wait a minute, didn't he go to Florida State? Why does he not like Florida State? Of course I love Florida State. They just suck. And I'm not going to hide. Hey, Christian Kirk this week, most underrated player on the Jaguars roster, most overpriced player. You don't get that anywhere. And that's what Kirk has got. I've said it many times, Christian Kirk and Trevor Lawrence, they did not look like they had just gotten together as teammates. If you didn't know anything and you went out to the practice field as I did, you would have thought that these two had been working together for quite some time. It appeared to me that he was the number one. He was the number one target for Trevor Lawrence. And I thought that Evan Engram was the number two target. I thought it was a really good camp. It's going to be fun to see all this. And, you know, I think at times the Travis Etienne situation, and that's fascinating. Okay? And I actually have it written down here. I always write things down as to what I'll get to at some other point. But what I think is one of the greatest questions that you can ask right now for those of you who like to gamble, who's going to have the most carries this year? Who would you say? Who's got the most carries on the Jaguars this year?
I want to pull the trigger and say ETN, but then I'm like, how many times I can use him out of the backfield to catch the ball? I'd probably say ETN to be safe, but I mean, it's close.
Mm-hmm. Where's Snoop Connor on that list? What if ETN, I'm not going to say it before the fourth, but he's coming off Liz Frank. And you got James Robinson coming off an Achilles. in that position. Now, right now, Snoop Connor probably didn't even register with a lot of our listeners. But I'm telling you right now, if things go south with those two, it's Snoop Connor. For the record, I would bet ETN just because he's ahead of Robinson right now. And I wish I could tell you that Robinson was this and Robinson was that. We saw him work and work real hard in practice at the very end of minicamp. And he spoke. He didn't say a lot. That's just his personality. James almost never says a lot. I know the benchmark is Cam Akers, and he got back in 5 months in Los Angeles. I think that's unfair because everyone heals differently. I do not believe for James Robinson it'll have anything to do with pain tolerance. It'll have to do with his ability to do what he has to do. Movement, cutting, whatever it takes to be a back. To me, that's one of the great preseason questions of all. Who has the most carries this year in the backfield? And what I was getting with that when I talked about Ingram and Kirk before him is receiving the ball, Travis Etienne. That's another total, absolute addition to this offense that Trevor Lawrence did not have last year. And that if he's developed this relationship this early with those two free agents, as soon as he's brought back out on the field, and he has been back out on the field, ETN, during camp, I mean, just knowing him the way that he has and those two worked together for 3 years at Clemson, and his receptions went up year after year after year. That is a part of his offense. I mean, for Travis Etienne, I don't think it's going to be looking at carries and yards per game. Instead, it's going to be overall touches from behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, can Travis Etienne give you 10 to 12 carries? Can he give you 4 to 5 receptions? If so, this team's... I got to believe if you could tell me that those numbers, those attempts are there, that this team's going to win some games. Again, I can't get to all of you. Thanks for chiming in on the text line. I don't check it anymore. If you want to get a hold of me, please get me on Twitter. That is Baloo1010XL. I wish each and every one of you a very safe, happy 4th of July. Thank you to author John Nagowski. Dylan, have yourself a great 4th of July.
You too, man. Be safe out there.
Hackers coming up right now. Folks, I'll see you tomorrow at the concert downtown. Should be a whole heck of a lot of fun. You'll see me. I'll be the one with no tattoo. Shirtless, I may add.